Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. Our guest for this hour is Kevin Freeman, Center for Security Policy Senior Fellow, a chartered financial advisor by training, and a duty expert to us and I think the Pentagon and other government institutions and, well, for that matter, the free world on matters involving economic warfare, the subject of his two books, Secret Weapon and Game Plan, and, of course, his website, globaleconomicwarfare.com. Kevin, I mentioned that I wanted to talk to you a little bit about an issue that I think goes to the heart of a growing problem. It's not economic warfare specifically, but there is a tie-in here between cyber warfare possibilities and threats to our freedom of speech, namely the idea that Obama is determinedly pursuing of turning over the influence and, well, management, I guess you'd say, of a key function of the internet that has resided in the United States now for, you know, the entire life of the internet, and is about to come to an end, all other things being equal. I'm very pleased to say that a congressman by the name of John Culberson, who chairs the Commerce Subcommittee and the Appropriations Committee, is throwing a potential important body block on this. But what do you make of this initiative, and what are its implications as you see them?
Well, first off, we own the internet because Al Gore invented it, right? No, actually, it was invented by the Pentagon, Defense Department initiative. It's an American initiative. It's been adopted around the world. And the ICANN has the naming rights. You know, the computer doesn't recognize the name of a search term when you put or a website. It recognizes the number associated with it, but ICANN connects the domain name with the actual website you're going to. It's a significant, important thing. And the Obama administration wants to give away control of that to an international body. And that, to me, in a cyber war, is the same thing as handing your nuclear weapon to everyone's use. Because if we actually got into a cyber war, the ability to cut off access to websites would be enormous. We could stop people from going to whatever website they wanted to, and we could literally control the ability of people to access any websites or whatever. And to give that away to an international body, and instead we ought to hold that as a weapon that we claim we'll never use unless we have to. And so that would be a massive deterrent. We're giving away a deterrent weapon, which is tantamount to a nuclear weapon. I think it's foolish. It's like we gave away the Panama Canal, and now we see the Chinese controlling both ends of the Panama Canal. Everything that we build, we don't have to give to the world. There can be some American sovereignty left, and this is one area we should stop right now to protect our sovereign interests.
This is such an important point and really a leitmotif of everything we've talked about, going back to that business about the TPP, for example, and reducing our sovereignty and the EU, and the implications of supranationalism and the like. Kevin, let me ask you, speaking of the European Union and some of its policies, one of the things that I guess has been a national decision in Europe to this point, but may now be leaching into ours is the practice of negative interest rates. And I'd like to get your sense as to what the economic implications of our adopting that practice, now in evidence in some European countries and in Japan, I guess, and a few others, might be, particularly from the vantage point of our economic vulnerability to acts of, well, economic warfare.
Well, there's something like $11 trillion of money that is loaned where the borrower receives interest from the lender. And there's examples in Denmark where somebody will buy a home, borrow money on a mortgage, and they get a regular check from the person loaning them the money. That's what a negative interest rate is. It turns everything upside down. And one of the great vulnerabilities it creates is it creates a sense It's like when you get a teaser rate on your credit card, it gives you a sense of well-being that allows you to go overspend, and it causes governments to overspend. What it does for us is it makes the United States, if we adopt negative interest rates as the Europeans and Japanese have done, it makes us more willing to spend money, not keep our fiscal house in order, increase our debt, which is the number one national security vulnerability, according to several secretaries of defense. One after another, they'll come through and say, the greatest threat to our national security is our debt. The reason being, if we have this massive debt, the first thing that they want to cut is they want to cut military spending. And so the more we spend money and the greater the debt that we have, the less military future we may have. So it's a huge national security vulnerability, not to mention the fact that the Chinese and the Saudis have already threatened, as have the Russians, to dump their holdings of our debt and crash our economy if they want to. So negative interest rates set us up to be extremely vulnerable.
Speaking of that threat, Kevin, would you just go over that? Because that really is a point that I think can't be made often enough. The statement by Henry Paulson, the former Treasury Secretary under George W. Bush, about actual efforts to collude on creating, you know, a collapse of the U.S. economy.
In 2008, according to Secretary Paulson, the Chinese told him at the Olympics, and we're about to have the Olympics again, at the Olympics, that the Russians had approached them and said, we can crash the American economy if we work together and dump American debt now. And they were talking about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac at that particular moment. This is a plan that was brought up by a man named Igor Panarin 10 years prior to that in a conference in Linz, Austria, where he said that America would collapse under the weight of its foreign debt, which he called a pyramid scheme, and he said that Russia and China would act together to usurp Washington's role as the global financial power. And the way they would do that is they would dump our debt. And they tried to do it in 2008, and the Chinese did not participate, but the Chinese showed as recently as 2013, they said, we must de-Americanize the world. We've got to remove the dollar from use in global trade. And that's the long-term plan to take America down and replace us with a Russia-China coalition that would lead the world. And we wouldn't be able to fund our debt. We wouldn't be able to fund our military. We would become essentially a massive debtor nation at the mercy of our enemies, who would be the ones controlling the financial system.
This tie-in with our military posture is so important, Kevin. I don't remember how often I've been told that we're simply not going to be able to afford the kind of military we need if there remains this deficit, this debt and the like. And that's a very ominous prospect in a world that we have talked about with you and so many other guests over the years is in more need than ever, arguably, of a strong and deterring American capability in the military sphere. Kevin, just a minute left. Let me just ask you, if you had a minute to talk to the next president of the United States, what would your counsel be to prepare him or her for the dangers of economic warfare and protect our country?
That we can no longer view the world as a global marketplace. We must recognize that our enemies see it as a global battle space. We're in a global economic war. And the whole notion of the last 40 years no longer applies. We've got to prepare to fight the war. We've got to benefit our friends globally, and we've got to punish our enemies.
And Kevin Freeman, and I'm so grateful to you for your appearances here at Secure Freedom Radio and all the work that you do with our organization. And hope all of you will check out Kevin's writings daily, just about, at globaleconomicwarfare.com. And that both you and he will come back to us again very soon, in particular next week. For those of you listening to Secure Freedom Radio, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.